Chattanooga before I read the scripture. I want to say I appreciate so much the music here at our church. And good to hear the choir sing again.
Yeah.
I'm not here often on a Sunday, but I'm grateful for the good choir singing, the special music, and thankful for to be home.
Amen.
I was out my last trip. I drove 2,010 miles, and it was in four different churches. Went down to Lewisburg, North Carolina, for a Bible meeting at the Calvary Baptist Tabernacle in Lewisburg, North Carolina. From there, went to Lexington, North Carolina, for a mission meeting, and they have a commitment of $86,000, 30% increase over last year's commitment. Then went from there down to Dallas, Georgia, for a camp meeting, and then back to Sanford, North Carolina, with Tim Falls. But it's good to be home occasionally anyway.
Amen.
I'm thankful for the goodness of the Lord. I appreciate your faithful support. This is a great help to us along the way. It used to be, you didn't think about costing $100 to fill a tank of gas, but it does. I've experienced that several times along the way. But I'm grateful for your help and your ministry. We're laborers together, amen. It's not my work or your work, it's God's work.
That's right.
So notice with me the epistle of 1 John chapter 2. And I'll read a few verses. The Bible said, "My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous."
Amen.
That'd be a good time to say amen.
Thank God.
I'm grateful for that. He said, "And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Be good for our Calvinist friends to read the Bible, amen.
Amen.
I'm grateful that this, hallelujah. Notice again, he said, "Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." That's pretty strong, pretty plain, not too hard to understand what he's saying. He said, "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which we have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which things is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake." I'm interested in that last phrase of verse 12. And I'd like to preach to you a little while tonight on that phrase, "for his name's sake." The Apostle Paul said, "What therefore ye eat and drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." So that means whatever I do, I'm be doing that for his name's sake. It's not to make a name for me. No. It's for his name's sake. So would you pray that God would speak to your heart tonight? And when he speaks to your heart, ask him to speak to someone else. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you tonight for our church. Thank you for our pastor, and thank you, Lord, for the good music we have here. Thank you for those who play the instruments and for those that do special music. We're grateful for that and add so much to the service. We thank you for that. And I pray tonight that you might help us, Lord, that we might be a vessel yielded to thee, that you might work in us, that you might work through us, that to be a blessing and help to someone tonight. I pray that you'd encourage us in the Lord and help us be reminded that whatever we do, it is for his name's sake and not for ours or for some church name, but for the glory of the Lord.
Yes.
Do what I cannot do. I thank you for what you will do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Peter writing said, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I'm grateful for that name. The Bible said, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so if you look at when the scripture speaks of the Lord's name, listen, it is more than just identifying him. It stands for his person and everything that is associated with him. Who he is, his nature, his attributes, all he has done, all that he's doing today, and all that he will do in the future. Related to this, the thought that he is worthy of all the glory and the reverence should be ascribed to him. There's no name yet given to him that is sufficient to express all of his goodness and all of his glory. I want to say tonight, he is the Alpha, but he's the Omega also. He's the door, but he's the way. He's the foundation, but he's the cornerstone. I'm saying to you, he's the star, but he's the sun. He's the lamb, but he's the lion. I'm saying he's the rock, but he's the shadow. He's the light, and he's the life. He's the word, and he's the truth. He's the first, and he's the last. And I'm grateful that I know him by the good grace of God. I'm saying one day, the whole world will join in singing to our ascended and glorified Lord the gracious hallelujah anthem of the King of Kings, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I'm saying this phrase, for his name's sake, I want to call your attention to four places where that's mentioned in the Bible. Twice in the epistles of First John, in the epistles of John, and twice in the book of Psalms. And so no sooner the four times. Each of the references involves mortal men. And it's associated in such a way that, listen, he has interest in his children, the children of Adam, in such a way. And so that's certainly grace indeed. Not only is that true of Bible heroes, but it's also true of all of us. And so he said in 1 John 2, verse 12, he said, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, if you'll notice with me, Isaiah 43, I want to read to you Isaiah 43 and verse number 25, I believe it is. Isaiah 43 and 25, he said this. He said, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sin. Don't get excited about it now, but he's not only forgiven us, but he forgot it. I'm grateful that he not only forgives, but he forgets our sin. And he said that, I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I'm no longer in the condemnation. I've been set free by the grace of God. Listen, I'm a child of the King, joint heirs of Jesus Christ. And it's all for his name's sake. Not for mine, not for yours, but for his name. He saved us, for he forgave us for his name's sake. And so the word that John uses here, translated little children, is one he uses to refer to not just to those who are young in the Lord, but also for everyone that has received forgiveness of their sins for his name's sake. Here's what the scripture said in the book of Psalm, in Psalm 32. In Psalm 32, let's look at verse number 1, I believe I'm right, in Psalm 32. And he says it this way. He said, Psalm 32, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. And again he said, blessed is a man in whom the Lord imputed not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. I'm thankful for the fact that my sins have been forgiven me. for his name's sake, for his reputation's sake, for his glory. And so that's the basis of our forgiveness, is the grace of God, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the work that he did on Calvary, that you and I might have life and have it more abundantly. Notice what it said, my little children, 1 John 2, verse 1, my little children, these things write I unto you, and that you sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sin, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus Christ, the righteous, we rejoice that we have forgiveness of sins, and that nothing can ever take that away.
Amen.
The devil is the accuser of the brethren. He accuses us before God day and night. But I'm grateful that God's covered our head in the day of battle. I'm thankful that we have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ for his name's sake, by his righteousness, now resting as it does upon the blessed Savior and once and for all sacrificed upon the cross. We need to be zealous in declaring the gospel message to a world of perishing sinners after the name of the Lord Jesus. Note with me the book of Acts, if you would please. Acts chapter 10, and let's look at verse number 43. In Acts chapter number 10, I read it, and the Bible said this in verse number, Acts 10 and verse number 43. He said this, he said, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin. Aren't you glad he didn't put you on probation? Listen, this matter of being saved is not on a trial basis. We pass from death unto life. It wasn't the fact that we were sick and needed a doctor. No, we were dead in trespasses and sin. We could not help ourselves. And in his mercy and in his grace, he forgave us our sin for his name's sake. Don't ever get to the place where you think, listen, you deserved it. No, we don't deserve any of that. We got what we deserve, we wouldn't be here tonight.
Amen.
But he said it was for his name's sake that he forgave our sin.
Yes.
So what sins are you talking about?
Yeah.
I don't remember them anymore. I'm thankful for my one offering. He perfected forever them that are sanctified.
Yes.
Don't have to come back and have a recap. No. I passed from death into life. Was a child of the devil, now a child of the king. And it's all for his name. He saved me for his name's sake. He forgave me for his name's sake. And I say again, if you'll back up with me to the book of Psalms once again, Psalm 106, and this is speaking of Israel, and the Bible said in verse number 7, our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the Red Sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. I'm not saved because I'm a Baptist.
Right.
And saved for his name's sake. And again, I've said this many times before, I don't think you have to be a Baptist to go to heaven. But don't think there's anything wrong with first class. I'm saying this. He said, nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake. And here's the reason why. That his mighty power might be known. He wants his power to be demonstrated. By the way, I don't know about you, but I pray daily that God would manifest his power in my life. I pray for our church that God would manifest it. Listen, thank God for a preacher, man. I'm grateful for Pastor Ledbetter and his study in the Word of God and his preaching the Word of God without compromise. But I'm telling you, he knows it. I know that. And you know that if anything lasting is ever accomplished, it'll be for his name's sake. It'll be that God does it and not man. Although we are privileged to be a co-laborer with him, listen, God works in us that he might work through us, but it's all for his name's sake. And he said that he wants his mighty power. So in this psalm, the writer recounts a time in the history of the nation of Israel where they were unfaithful to Jehovah. And yet, in his mercy, he delivered them. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. How many times have we been unfaithful? How many times have we missed the mark? Yet in his mercy and for his name's sake, he delivered us. I haven't literally been down to the Red Sea and watched God open up the Red Sea, but I've had some Red Sea experiences in my life, the place where there's no way forward, there's no way backward, there's no way out. And God opened up my Red Sea, and I went across on dry ground, and God was glorified. I was blessed, and I was helped. And I say to God be the glory. Great things he has done. He reached out and opened up my Red Sea and gave me direction for my life. He didn't leave me alone. He directs me step by step and day by day, but it's for his name's sake. He said, I'm doing this that my mighty power might be known. I'm telling you, when a sinner gets saved by the grace of God, the mighty power of God is demonstrated. But the fact of God's keeping power, listen, also demonstrates the fact of his faithfulness to us. I'm glad that I serve a faithful God. When I am unfaithful, he is still faithful. When I miss the mark, listen, he's still faithful. When I'm on the mountaintop, he's faithful. When I'm down in the valley, he's faithful. When I've got some answers, I think, listen, he's faithful. When I don't have any answers, he's still faithful. Faithful is he that calleth you who will also do it. I'm grateful that he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world to set him free, but he died alone for you and for me, and he did that for his namesake. He delivered us for his name's sake. And so the content of the verse is the deliverance from Pharaoh down at the Red Sea. Notice with me back to Psalm 106. And let's look at verse 7. Let me pick up verse 9. The Bible said he rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered the enemies. There was not one of them left. What's God doing? He's, for his name's sake, he's delivered them that his mighty power might be made known. 1964, in my home church, we've been praying for one particular man for years and years and years. Seemed to be a hard case. And he showed no interest. But we've been praying for 6 weeks in a row. We prayed for one thing. We prayed for revival. We asked God to send real revival. There's things that happened during that six-week period of time that was strange things. But it was getting our attention to the place where it's God doing the work. So Brother Robert Taylor comes in and preaches. And that hard case melted like butter under the conviction of the Holy Ghost. And 34 folks got born again by the grace of God. But it was for his name's sake. It wasn't Brother Taylor. It wasn't Dr. Buffington. It wasn't the men who met every morning for 6 weeks to pray. It was God who manifested his mighty power. And oh, I want to say, dear God, please do it again. Do it in my life. Do it in my church's life. Hey, we want God to be manifested in his power, but it's for his name's sake. Not that we can take any credit for it. No, no, no. No, no. It all belongs to the Lord. I come back to the fact, listen, we have been greatly blessed by our God, the God of our salvation. Yet just like Israel, we're prone to forget, to be ungrateful, and be complainers. Sometime we ought to find a place alone before God and saying, dear Lord, didn't come to ask you for anything, but I just want to come and bless your name for your goodness and for your mercy, for your faithfulness and how you propped us up on the leaning side and how you delivered us. And I say, bless his name. We come back to the fact that God help us to be consistent in our appreciation for all we've received from the bountiful hand and the unwavering in expression of thankfulness and praise Him. Let us be humble, remembering that our spiritual preservation is not because of anything of us, but because we have a merciful and faithful God who acts in accordance with who He is and in order that others may come to know His saving grace and His keeping power. I want you to see with me another psalm verse, and this is so familiar. Brother Riley referenced some of this morning. But in the 23rd Psalm, notice what he said, Psalm 23. And you know the psalm. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." I'm grateful He's my shepherd. "And I shall not want." That's my shepherd. He said, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." Here's the verse. "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." That's the reason, for His name's sake. Yeah, the reason He leads us in the paths characterized by righteousness, it is for His name's sake. It was our Lord who said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." I'm grateful that He's still on the throne and God's in charge. I'm grateful that a political party is not in charge. It's our God that's in charge. And by the way, He's still able to deliver us. I'm telling you, unless there's some divine intervention, we're headed for some dark days down the road politically. But I believe this. God is not wringing His hands tonight wondering about how things are going to turn out. He's already got it all planned out. But it'll always be for His name's sake. God has blessed America above every other nation upon the face of God's earth. And America's thunder knows that God and doesn't want anything to do with God. No mention of God. Take the Bible out of school, out of the courthouse, and that we've come to today where the person that violates the law of God has more rights than the victim. We've come a long way away from God, but He's still in charge. And so what we do? Whether we're going to sing, let's do it for His name's sake. We're going to pass out a tract for His name's sake. We're going to testify for His name's sake. That means if I testify, I'm not drawing attention to myself. All the glory goes to Him. All the praise goes to Him. He's the worthy one. That's for His name's sake. And so the reason He leads us is characterized by by righteousness, and it's for His name's sake. And that's in keeping with His character. That's in keeping with His honor, and we should honor Him. And so we are to be righteous in our walk, loving and living according to the principles clearly set out in the Scriptures for His name's sake. I give for His name's sake. I seek to live for His name's sake. And so there could be no higher motive for doing so than the reputation of our Lord. Buddha's dead and in a grave. Muhammad's dead. But Christ is alive. And He lives in my heart as a believer. And He lives in your heart if you're saved. But so whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do all to the glory of God. And it's all for His name's sake. No higher motive for doing so than the reputation of our Lord would be a poet. And it's sad to hear of people who name the name of Christ who walk in unrighteous ways. But the woods is full of them. In every decision we face, whether as an individual or as a family or as a church, we should ask ourselves this: will my choice bring glory to the Lord? Will my choice bring glory to the Lord? Let us do nothing that would bring dishonor upon His blessed name. I do not fear going to hell. I got that said a long time ago. But I do fear getting out of God's will. I do fear of misrepresenting the Lord. I do not want to cause anybody to stumble because of my inconsistent life. So I want to so live my life that he might get all the glory and for his name's sake. One last thought in the book of 3 John. In 3 John, if you'll notice with me, 3 John, and I want to look at verse number 7, I believe it is. 3 John, verse number 7. Here's what the Bible said in 3 John, verse number 7, when I find it. Here's what he said. He said, in verse number 7, he said, because that for his name's sake, they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. But it was for his name's sake. He said, because of his name's sake, they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. Because that for his name's sake, they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. Could I say that we have been sent by our Lord, and we are sent to serve our Lord, and each one of us serve the Lord in the sphere that God places us, and it is to bear witness of the truth. We go forth on behalf to spread, to tell forth, and to defend his name. There's no other name like that name. Again, the phrase, taking nothing of the Gentiles, shows that we are not to seek and receive support from the ungodly. We're taking nothing of the Gentiles. But the principle goes a little further than that. We're not to compromise with the world in any respect. Amen. We're not of this world. Our citizenship's in heaven. And so we're not to compromise or employ the methods or imitate the world in any aspect. And that's why I'm concerned about, as I'm seeing some churches making some moves in the world's direction. Listen, the Bible will stand on its own base. You don't have to, listen, the Word of God is settled, it's true. The Bible stands on its own, so we don't present the gospel and contemporary music. No, we don't water the message down. I believe as Vance Havner said in some of these churches, he said there's not enough scripture used for the Holy Spirit to bring any conviction in the church. Listen, how important it is that we do not take from the world. No. We have all that we need in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a personal Savior. And so again, it is a great honor to be associated with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Just one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And in the book of Psalm 48, that last verse said, this God is our God forever and ever. He'll be our guide even unto death. Don't have to worry about him leading you down some side alley and forsaking you. No. Don't have to be bothered about that to come to your Red Sea and not have any help. He's a very, very present help in time of trouble. He's our God, your God, my God, and we do what we do for the glory of the Lord. Again, it's a great honor to be associated with the Lord Jesus Christ to bear his name. And it's incumbent on us to do his work according to his principles outlined in the Bible, consistent with our calling and those in the inspired Word of God. And so we've entered into a new day. We've entered into a new day. And I want to say, you ought to be able to say we've entered into this new day in the will of God. I believe I'm in the will of God tonight. I'm not here by happenstance. I'm here in the will of God. And I'm glad that God has a plan. God has a purpose. God has a will for each one of his children. And he wants us to do what we do for his glory and for his name's sake. And so if we entered this new day in the will of our Lord, we need to be diligent to rest in the assurance of the forgiveness of our sin. We've been forgiven. We've been set free. And as humble believers, we are to be thankful to God for his faithfulness to us and to walk in his paths that are pleasing to him. And to follow the scriptures of truth as we go forth in testimony for him. May these things be true in each one of us in the days ahead. In the year 2024, May God help us to do what we do, whether it's to preach or teach, hand out a tract, witness. We do it for his name's sake. Not to be recognized by the world or recognized by man. Not seeking the applause of men. It's a matter of we do right because it's the right thing to do. We're not doing right. We're not doing right to gain reward. We're doing right because it's right. And so we do it for his name's sake. And so he leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's the purpose. And he delivered them at the Red Sea, Israel at the Red Sea. And he said, did that they might know my mighty power. I'm telling you, I've watched God put homes back together. I've watched God put some hard cases that folks have given up on. Please don't give up. As long as there's breath, as long as you can breathe in and breathe out, there's still hope. Somebody said, no, just let them go their way. No, warn them, tell them the story that Jesus died to save sinners. And he saves to the uttermost. He changes our life. He gives us security. And we're not holding on. We're being held for his name's sake.